Hey, Nick.
Hey, John.
I actually am a little out of loop. I did miss last week, so I just was wondering what we're covering today.
Oh, you're so cute. Wouldn't you like to know?
Ugh, you're such a tease.
This is Stranger Still. Welcome to Stranger Still,
a podcast where John's back on the podcast.
Hey, you're here.
I did it.
What did we ever do without you?
Record without me. Fine.
It's
fine.
True.
It didn't affect anything. Yeah, it was good.
No one noticed.
I listened the first 10 minutes. I didn't get to finish.
Yeah, and you didn't even notice.
I didn't. Yeah. I was like, I sound good on this episode, and I turned it off.
This week's kind of... I'm really excited about this topic because it's something I probably never would have thought of on my own. We're talking about tea leaf reading. It came from Jason Lee, of course, from our Facebook page. He went on to the meme thread. I found the meme here.
He's not just from our Facebook page. He's a member of humanity, Nick.
The idea came from our Facebook page where he posted this meme on our meme thread. I think it's from like Tumblr. I can't
Tumblr
tell
is a good meme repository.
Yeah.
If anything.
Yeah, it's definitely Tumblr. It says, how come reading tea leaves is seen as this sophisticated witchy thing, but if I slam dunk an open can of Chef Boyardee ravioli onto the pavement in the gas station parking lot to see what kind of soda the old ones think I should buy, foodstuff divination suddenly isn't cool anymore?
Yeah.
And
that's a slam dunk if I've ever heard one.
Yeah, now we have an episode. So if you want to get us to do an episode, I guess what I'm saying is just put it into meme form on our Facebook page, and
we should do an episode on the butterfly effect, how little things influence bigger things, because someone had an inkling to make that meme one day, and here we are spending an hour of our day talking about it.
Yeah, and it's all thanks to Chef Boyardee.
Mm-hmm. Is he even a real chef? We should investigate him.
That's true.
Is he even boy, RD?
Was that you on our Facebook page that posted the meme about Oprah?
Yes.
Like taking an AK-47 to Dr. Phil and Dr. Oz?
You've served your purpose? Yeah, that was me.
Yeah. That's from 2 weeks ago. Oh, dude, before we get into this week's topic, today that we're recording this, Tuesday, April 21st, the day before this episode comes out, if you're listening to it, the day it comes out, is National Tea Day in the UK.
Whoa.
Isn't that nuts?
Like, yeah, and that's pretty important over there.
Yeah, we didn't plan that. I found it out today because I was watching Twitch. I was watching Kit Boga, of course, and he drinks tea every episode. And someone mentioned it in his chat. And I was like, oh, no way. So I had to Google it. And sure enough, National Tea Day in the United Kingdom.
Happy belated tea day, Nick.
Yeah. Happy belated tea day to you as well.
Thanks.
So, you've heard of tea leaf readings. When was the first time you ever heard of tea leaf readings? Because I remember the exact instant.
You know, the more I think back to this kind of thing, the more I think how much culture I was exposed to probably by Nickelodeon. Like,
really?
If you think about it, don't you think that you've probably heard a bunch of like different gimmicks or like allusions to other pieces of media on Rugrats? Or
that's true. Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Like they, well, maybe less so that, but more like story-based cartoons. Like they'll always have like, oh, this was an explorer, and that was like my first exposure to Indiana Jones. Or this person was a psychic. Like Angelica dresses up as a psychic and reads the tea leaves. Like I don't even know if that's
did
a real
she really
episode.
Do that. I maybe bet it did. That sounds so that like creates an image in my mind that I'm convinced is an episode.
So I want to say it's probably something like that, but also I did do an episode on tea rooms that this whole thing reminds me of.
That came up
pretty cool. Yeah,
that was a good episode. The first time I was ever exposed to it was actually in the third Harry Potter book. Did you ever read that?
Yeah.
There's that teacher.
Chambers? No, Chambers is two.
Yeah, it's Prisoner of Azkaban.
Okay.
There's a scene where they're doing tea leaf readings and
Dr. McGonagall?
No, it's what's her name? Shelby just told me.
With the thick glasses.
Yeah. It's like starts with a T. It's Professor Trelawney. She teaches divination. and she finds a dog in his cup and basically tells him he's gonna die, which is a really messed up thing to tell what is he, like 12 at this point?
Yeah.
He's older than that.
Do you think Professor Trelawney likes essential oils? Because I mean, I'm just looking at pictures here and this is a little judgy, but
for sure. Okay. For sure. But that was the first exposure I ever had to this thing. And reading tea leaves, or tassiography is probably the right way to pronounce it, is a type of, you guessed it, divination, since she's the one teaching divinations. It's a fortune-telling technique. It's a means of looking into someone's future or fortune using what's available to us on the mortal coil, like tea leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And psychicsfortoday.com, and yes, that is the number 4, listed tea reading as number 12 on its list of most common types of divination. Just for our listeners, for context, the other means of divination they listed were things that we've talked about astrology, but they also had like bibliomancy, which is where you turn to a random page in the Bible and you read a random verse, and that's supposed to give you some insight into your life. There's cardomancy, which is you do it with a deck of cards. There's cleromancy, that I don't really understand that one. There's dowsing. There's just basic fortune telling. There's I Ching, which is done with coins. There's lithomancy, which is done with metals. I think cleromancy is too. I don't understand the difference between those.
What's
there's
the top numerology, three?
Bibliomancy, cartomancy, and cleromancy.
Okay.
But there's also like numerology, which would be a really interesting episode. Scrying and tarot, which we've talked about. So this is amongst the likes of tarot. And the last one they listed was tea leaf reading.
Yeah. The only one I really know is scrying. Is that's when you cry in the sky on a plane.
Mm-hmm.
And then you read the tears.
Yeah, it's like smizing. Yeah. In a tea leaf reading, you'll sit down with a psychic. They'll hand you a cup of tea that they've brewed for you. I've read many different places. You could just steep the tea, or you can put the leaves in loosely and steep them that way. You'll drink most of it, at which point they'll do a couple things we'll get into. They'll look at the cup, look for symbols and images and the locations of where they're at inside the cup, and then tell you your future based on that. And some psychics, it seems, will just do like a general fortune telling, but there's some that like you can ask a specific question like, what are my job prospects, or like, when am I gonna find the love of my life, or something like that. So when you're going into your tea leaf reading, you can have a specific goal in mind, or you can just have, you want to know what's coming down the pike. So John, when do you think the art of reading tea leaves began?
Tell you what, Nicholas,
yeah,
it was not ancient Egypt. This is the one time in my entire life that I feel confident in my answer, that I feel blessed by my hipsterism as a child to read the tea book.
Oh, interesting.
There's a book, the Book of Tea, it's called. I've had it for years. I thought it was so cool for owning it. I read like a couple of paragraphs a couple of times.
And this is the only moment in your life has come in handy.
And this is the only moment in my life that I'm glad and grateful that I read that this is originated in ancient China, because original tea was disgusting. It was with onions, oranges. It was accidental that the tea bush was cultivated by something just falling into a boiling pot.
Yeah,
it all comes from the same plant. And here we are.
So that's
it was ancient China, Nick.
That's where tea came from, but where did tea leaf readings come from?
I'm going to say not far from that. I'm going to say this is probably a Chinese origin.
Well, that's what most people say. And I think this is really interesting because it depends on who you ask. For instance, if you ask mysticscripts.com, they say, and this is a direct quote, tea leaf reading is considered to be one of the most accurate and intuitive forms of divination. Tea leaf reading is an ancient form of divination which originated in Asia, the ancient Greece, okay, and also the Middle East, and was for the first time introduced by the gypsies. That's copied and pasted from their website. If you can make heads or tails from that, I think they're trying to say it originated in Asia, but ancient Greece practiced it as well as cultures in the Middle East, but it was introduced to us by the gypsies.
Damn. Is that even is that even PC to say gypsies? I forget what they like to be called. Romani people, right?
Yes, you are correct. It's not right to call them gypsies. However, that was on every single website I went to. So that tells you a little bit about the clientele we're working with here. However, more than likely that was never, like, it was never done in ancient Greece, never done in ancient China. More likely it came from the 1700s or the 18th century. Divination was incredibly popular around this time. They were like doing they were talking into crystal balls, performing seances, they were doing scrying, they're whatever you said, they look into the sky and cry and whatever. I think I read it on NPR, and I want to differentiate this, that this isn't my opinion, this is just what other people were thinking, is that one of the reasons a majority of women did and are still the ones who practice these divination things is because back in the 1700s, they were the ones performing it. And it seems obvious, but primarily speaking, women weren't working, so they'd be at home. And if they invited their friends over for lunch to entertain them, they would do like a little fortune telling or like a bibliomancy trick or whatever. They'd do some sort of divination.
We should link my tea episode in there because it sounds like it might be around the same time period that this was, mm-hmm. like the tea rooms in New York. And that was, it was kind of like a gimmick to get people to come in the door to have something to do while they're drinking tea, yeah. to get them into their cafes and things like that. So you come in for a reading and a biscuit and a tea,
yeah.
and that would just be an activity you would perform. But I guess you could have just like tea parties outside of tea rooms back in the day.
Well, yeah.
And just have your friends over and do that.
At least like in the UK, it became a business model like this. It started to be like they'd sell lunch. And then when people were enjoying their lunch in their home, they'd give them a tea leaf reading or something like that. So it's very much mm-hmm. very similar to that. But something else major happened during this time around the 1700s, maybe a little bit earlier. England was making more and more trips over to China. Like you mentioned, that's where we got tea. So people went over there. They experienced the concept of tea and then brought it back home. And at the time, it was an elite drink. It was only for royalty or the extremely wealthy. And remember way back when we talked about where accents come from, what happens when royalty starts doing something?
Everybody else starts doing something.
Yeah, they'll find any way to get their hands on the stuff. And
it's funny how humans don't change, because now it's like rappers do something.
Yeah, the Kardashians
starts mimicking. Yeah.
So when the lower class comparatively got their hands on this stuff, it was precious to them. Like it was imbued with qualities that it definitely didn't have, because it was precious. It was royal. It was a royal leaf. And
yeah, they were hashtag influencers.
They were the OG influencers. Yep. And during this time, the lower class was also very superstitious. That's where we get a lot of the superstitions that we still have today, like throwing salt over your shoulder, or not breaking a mirror because those are expensive, you know, that sort of thing. So you combine those two things, the fact that this is an elite substance and they're superstitious. People were...
Would you consider yourself superstitious?
No, I'm just a little stitious.
That's what I was going to say.
That's some comedian's joke. Is that...
Is it?
Is that Mitch... No, it's not. I don't remember. I'm not superstitious, but I am stitious. Someone says that. I don't remember who. But you combine these two things. These people were itching to use this as a tool for divination. And also, according to NPR, this replaced more dangerous forms of divination, like...
this is slaying your firstborn and reading the blood.
Almost. There was haruspicy, which was working with animal guts. There's also molybdomancy, which was working with molten metal, and caromancy, which was working with hot wax. So obviously, the molten metal is the most dangerous one. But the idea was the same. Like you would
for people, it's more dangerous for the guts one for animals.
Yes. but the idea was the same. You'd pour out hot wax or molten metal or entrails, and you would make shapes out of these, and you would read those shapes as a form of divination. And
that's how metal bands created their t-shirts.
It's very true. Way back in the Bronze Age.
Yep, when Cannibal Corpse first formed as a band, they made an entrails styled Cannibal Corpse shirt.
That's right. So, again, there are many claims that this was just made popular in the 18th century, but I'm going to push back on that even more, considering the first writing about it was like, it wasn't until the 1700s, at least in English. This was just wasn't a thing.
Well, the Book of Tea was published in 1906, so my information about this is not as old as that.
It's still pretty old.
Yeah.
It's also before they had, like, fact-checking. So I know you've been sitting on the edge of your seat figuring out how you can read your own tea leaves. And you can read your own tea leaves, or you can have a psychic do it for you. So let's go there. All you need is a cup, preferably like a white or light colored mug with a handle, a saucer or a plate or a bowl or something like that, some hot water, and some tea. You can use a tea bag, but it can cause the leaves to clump up a little bit more. You might not get good shapes. You can also use milk and sugar, but that's also not recommended because it can cause the leaves to clump up. One website.
Milk and sugar? That would be too similar of a color. Wouldn't it be hard to see?
Well, it would just, the main problem, because you're going to slurp all that up, the main problem is that all the tea leaves are just going to stick together.
Okay.
So one website suggested using Darjeeling, Earl Grey, Jasmine, or Gyokuro, which I've never heard of.
Gyokuro is what makes matcha.
Ah, gotcha. Okay.
That's before it's matcha.
Yeah. So step one, make your cup of tea, steep it. Step two is drink most of it. Just leave like a tiny little bit, like a teaspoon at the bottom.
And can we spread the, let's be a little transparent that I've got a cup of tea in front of me that mm-hmm. I drank most of already.
Yep. We've prepared so I can do a reading at the end of this show. So what you'll do is while you're drinking it, you need to focus on either the question you're asking, the goal that you want read, or your future, or whatever it is that you're going to, into this reading for. The next step, John, if you want to exercise this.
Do this live?
Yeah. Is take the cup in your the person who's receiving the reading takes the cup in their non-dominant hand by the handle.
Okay,
swirl it counterclockwise three times.
That's to the left-ish, right?
Yeah.
Opposite toilet?
Yes.
Unless you're in Australia. That's
the
not
opposite
true. That's
of
a
clock.
Okay, I'm ready. I'm swirling.
So do that three times and then turn the cup upside down onto the plate to get rid of the water, but leave the cups in or the leaves in the cup.
Okay.
You don't want any water in there. Now turn it back over and now your reading can begin. It's as easy as that.
Okay, here's what I got.
Beautiful. Can you send me a picture of that so we can do a full reading later on in the episode?
Yeah.
See, even in this crisis, psychic readings don't need to be dead. You can just send me a picture of your tea leaves. Oh, man, this came out so good. Got some beefy leaves, but that's, like, perfect. So
flowers.
Yeah. So once you've got your emptied out cup and you've got your shapes, the seer, as they are often referred to, will look at the cup, look for certain pictures or symbols and where they're at to kind of weave a story. And I read a couple differing opinions on what the locations meant, but generally speaking, you can split the cup into three sections. There's the area toward the rim of the cup, there's the sides of the cup, and then there's the bottom of the cup. And basically, the closer you are to the rim, the closer the thing is to you, and then the closer towards the bottom is the farther it is away from you. And I make that distinction because some symbols can represent people. So if the person is closer to the rim, that could mean a person that is close to you. But if it's a person towards the bottom of the cup, it could be like your third cousin twice removed. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
So it also depends on the question you're asking. But yeah, the rim is present, the sides are near future, and the bottom is the distant future. There were also some psychics out there that used the handle as an area for you and your home. So if there was a symbol around the area of the handle of the cup, that would represent something going on personally with you. Like if there was a palm tree on the handle, then maybe you're going to get married. But if there's a palm tree elsewhere in the cup, someone you know is going to get married, not you specifically. So when it comes to interpreting the symbols, I feel like it's equal parts pareidolia and improv, which is kind of impressive. As a reminder, pareidolia is the human's nature to find patterns where there aren't any. Like when I was a kid.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, again, Tumblr, beautiful website.
Yeah.
I just recently saw some posts about just all pareidolia. All it said was pareidolia. And then I just went down a deep rabbit hole of looking at so many images. So if you want to go on a horrifying trip, just search pareidolia on Google Images for a day.
So, yeah, like I would lay there as a kid trying to fall asleep and I would like look at the popcorn texturing on my ceiling and just like see faces or animals in them. Like,
yeah,
that's just what your brain does as a human. It's a survival mechanism. And that's essentially what you're doing here. You're looking at these leaves, finding a picture in it, assigning meaning to it, and then you're looking where it's at in the cup, and you're using that to tell that story. So that being said, there there's going to be some psychics that are very talented at this that just say, like, well, that looks like a bird, and bird means blah, 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 or this looks like a, I don't know. I think in Harry Potter, they're like, this looks like a hippo. Well, I don't have a guide for a hippo, but a talented psychic would be able to make something up for that, like a heavy, forbidding obstacles in the way or something like that. But there are generally agreed on symbols out there, and I can walk through a couple of these. T.
Mine looks pretty symbolic. I mean, it looks like a backwards, like a letter D with no back, or backwards C, or a snowman's face.
Yeah,
I'm seeing right now.
Well, let's see. It doesn't have to be just one big shape. They can also be little parts. Like I see maybe a C in there, and I see like a fish, and I see looks like a bird up top by the rim, and maybe yeah, that's a nest. What yeah, and then there's like this hook that. What am I seeing there? It almost looks like Japan.
Yeah.
So, but some of the common symbols from TUSA.com, they have an acorn, which means continued health or improved health. An anchor means lucky. It's a lucky symbol, success in business or in love. If blurred or indistinct, just the reverse. So bad luck. A heart means a lover, of course. If it's close to a ring shape, marriage to the present lover. If indistinct, the lover is fickle. Heavenly bodies like the sun, moon, and star are common. I don't see any here, but they can mean good luck, great happiness, and success. An owl, which seems really complex to me, would indicate sickness or poverty, warning against starting a new venture. The palm tree came up on like every single website. It's a good omen. It's a success in any undertaking. Single people learn of marriage. They separate moon out for some reason, but if there's a crescent moon, it means prosperity, fame, and if cloudy, the difficulties will be solved. There's an elephant, which means good luck, good health, and happiness. Triangles mean unexpected good fortune, and birds mean good luck. If flying, good news from the direction it comes. If at rest, a fortunate journey. So that's just some of the symbols. There's a million more out there. Like, I found some from tassiography.com. Like, they've got horseshoes and crosses and a peace symbol and arrows pointing different directions. And the other thing that I forgot to mention is if you see a letter, typically that means means a person, but if it's close to something else, like the example given is if it's close to a serpent, you might receive bad news about that person. So if you see like a...
Man, snakes always have got a bad rap, huh?
I know. Well, they convinced Adam and Eve to eat that apple, right? So that's where that reputation comes from. But if you see...
Apples are good for you, too.
Yeah, if you see the letter J, it could mean John, or it could be my brother Jake, or something like that. But if it's close to a serpent, maybe you'll receive bad news about them. If you see a number, that usually means like literally a numerical value. So if you see like if you see a baby in your tea leaves and then there's a number 3, that could mean you're going to have 3 kids or something like that. So when you see those, you usually take them pretty literally.
Okay. And this is all peer reviewed, right?
Sure. If by okay. peers you mean other psychics in the psychic community have looked at it and said, yeah, that's good, then yeah.
Okay.
So... I mean, that's basically tea leaf reading. This is incredibly interesting to me, just like tarot reading, because it takes a great talent to make a story out of these images that I'm seeing here. And looking at tea leaves is not easy. I'm having a hard time with this even now. I forgot what I already said. So, but I do want
to... have to squint a little, because I got big chunks in there.
Yeah.
It was a floral herbal tea.
So. It was... jasmine with flowers, which they recommend like against that. But it's what we had on hand, so sue us.
Yeah, I ran out of my sencha, drank it.
Yeah, so I figured after the quick break I could try to give you a tea leaf reading.
Nah, I'm good.
All right, we'll just end the episode here then.
Okay, you know, yeah, let's do it.
Okay, I guess we can. You know, I would ask where people can find us, but what I'd really like is if you could just pop over to your podcast listener, leave us a quick review. Helps get our name out there, get more people listening to this show if you like it. And if you don't, that's on you, buddy.
Yeah, you gotta live with that the rest of your life.
Yeah, and how do you feel?
Does that make you feel good?
I can't imagine it does.
Does it make you feel stitious?
Nah.
A little stitious?
Super stitious. So, John, I've got a picture here of your teacup, and those at home can see it in our episode thumbnail.
On StrangerSocialShow.com.
On StrangerSocialShow.com or on our Facebook page. Oh, yeah, go to our Facebook page, because we've had a lot of, like, we had the meme thread that generated this. Just today or yesterday, Delia posted this thing I saw on Reddit, but I didn't even think to share it. Is a like an encyclopedia of every color ever.
Yeah, it's so sick. I want to own that.
Yeah,
it's beautiful.
RGB color space atlas depicts every color imaginable. It's incredible, and I love it. But people are posting that kind of stuff. So Jason, of course, posted like a GIF to show the scale of the universe, and you posted people rallying about their their right to congregate. So. Go check those out. But also, you can see this picture of John's teacup. Now, this is a little bit chunkier than I imagine most people would use, but we're going to still try to do a reading here. It's interesting because toward the present and past, this is where I saw like a bird flying away from the nest. And typically, birds symbolize good luck. And if they're flying, that means that you're going to get good news. It is flying toward the handle, which means you could have good news in your personal life or in your home life or something like that. So that's good. There aren't a lot along the sides, so I assume there's nothing to look forward to in the near future, which surprisingly rings true. Everything else is kind of settled at the bottom in the distant future, where I see a lot of water imagery. Like I see a fish. You mentioned you saw
seahorse.
Like a seahorse. I see Japan again. But I also see like a cannon or like a fishing pole or something like that, which water is important because it's a symbol of purification. So you might have some...
Move to Japan to clean myself of this American nightmare?
Yeah. Well, maybe
okay.
Maybe in the distant future there's some sort of purification that can wash over you. This is also near the handle, so it could be close to your personal life, but it could also be outside of that. The interesting thing is next or attached to this cannon, I see an X, which means that you should proceed with caution or stop the task at hand. And when I think of a cannon, I think of like a like flying off the handle. So if you're down the road, if you're faced with some sort of obstacle that's going to make you fly off the handle or blow up, you need to proceed with caution, take a step back and you know, don't be a jerk.
That's gonna be tougher these days.
Yeah, I also see a letter V in your distant future. It's very small.
There's actually a distinct letter A that's like capitalized in there.
Oh,
too.
Maybe that's what I'm seeing the V as, but I mean, you're closer than I am. So, oh, that A is what I was seeing as the X attached to the cannon.
Okay.
I see this V, it's very small. So it's possible someone with a V name will enter your life. Maybe a Vanessa or a Vicky or a
Vic Berger.
Vic Berger. Yeah. In your future life. I think that's all of the images that I saw here. Yeah, so not a lot to look forward to in the near future, John. down the road, there might be some kind of purification. Maybe there's some sort of illness that might resolve itself or something like that. And just remember, keep a cool head, okay?
Yeah, I guess so. Thanks, Sensei.
You're welcome. Add it to the list of weird readings I've done for you. Next,
yeah,
we'll
you
do,
touched my feet.
We'll do
You've
numerology.
Done my tarot. Yeah. Yeah, what haven't we done? Did you touch my head already? Didn't we do something on
I don't think I touched your phrenology? Head during that episode, did I?
I don't think we've done phrenology.
We
I think
did
we
phrenology.
Just said it was garbage.
It is a bunch of garbage.
But we didn't engage in doing it. It wasn't worth it.
All right, next we'll do numerology. That's what I'll do a reading for you next time. Well, not next episode,
okay.
But the next episode like this, I'll do numerology.
Dude, there was this this one episode I want to cover that you give someone $50 and then you give them a back massage. And buy them dinner. And then after, like, you wait an hour, and then you tell them their future.
Oh, okay.
It's so sick. Yeah, it's supposed to be really accurate.
Wait, who gives who $50 and who gives who a back massage?
I think you do all of that, and then I just kind of chill. It's, I mean, if I was a test subject. This is just, like, all theoretical.
Yeah.
But it's sick. It's online. It's accredited.
If you can find, if you can link me an article on psychics4today.com, yes, that is the number 4, then I'll believe you.
Okay. Sure.
I think that'll do it for this week, though. What do you think? Got anything else?
No, it's pretty good.
All right. Well, in that case, I'm still Nick.
I'm still John.
And this is Stranger Still.